name is Anita Foster. I'm a library and media specialist at Autry Middle School in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hi, I'm Ingrid Hansen. I'm the library and media specialist at Lindley Sixth Grade Academy in Mapleton, Georgia.
Hey everyone, I'm Lori Quintana and I'm the library media specialist at Griffin Middle School in Smyrna, Georgia.
Welcome to Overdue Conversations from the Library. Today, we're very excited to have two more of our regional winners for Library Media Specialist of the Year for the state of Georgia, and it was just announced the other day. Congratulations, Ashley Sherman. You are
Yay!
The winner. Yes! So you're the librarian with the mostest.
Thank you, guys. Thank you
I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves, tell what school district and school you're from, and then we'll get into our conversation. So Ashley, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm Ashley Sherman. I'm the media specialist at Fry Elementary in Cobb County, so representing my Cobb peeps. They're super excited to be here.
And Jill is joining us. We're kind of jealous from the beach, so she did not want to put her video up. So Jill, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, and I apologize, but like I said, everyone will be thankful that I'm not doing that. So I am media specialist at Martin Technology Academy of Math and Science in Hall County. We are a STEM certified school, and I've been there a long time, 18 years.
Oh, wow. Jill, oh, what grade awesome. Levels, Jill?
It's a K-5.
Okay. So we have both. It's funny because the other day we had two high schools.
High schools.
We have two elementary. So this is awesome.
Yeah.
So,
and we're middle.
Lori, there we go.
Do you want to start with questions or do you want me to or Ingrid or?
I'll go ahead. I don't know if you guys have them pulled up or anything, but they're just some questions to help us get to know you guys as school librarians and a little bit more about your library programs. And so if each of you could just kind of give us a description or share something about your library or the things about your library with our audience. So to help them visualize what your space looks like and what you do in there every day with your students, that would be awesome.
Okay, I'll go ahead and go first. This is Ashley. So we serve about 850 kids in our building, and my space is the largest classroom in the building, and that's how it gets treated. So we have officially transitioned over to the Learning Commons, and we are Learning Commons certified by our county. I know you guys have done an episode about that before. we have the fun furniture. We've kind of changed it to where we can have multiple teaching areas at one time. We have a makerspace. We have an area for green screen filming, and all of that. But all of that is constantly changing. So because you buy the fun furniture, you're not done. So this year I'm actually getting rid of my desktops, and we're getting laptops instead. So that's very exciting. And most recently, right before COVID crazy, we added a sensory nook reading area for not only our unit classrooms, but for everybody to use. And so again, it didn't get a lot of use because it came and then we all left out of the building. But anyways, that's okay. It'll get a lot of use whenever we return. So so that's just kind of the physical space. At any given day, time, it could look different. I could have a class checking out, a class on computers, a class with me, a class with their teacher, somebody filming. So it's just very fluid, changing every day.
I love that, Ashley. Go ahead.
I wanted to hear more about the sensory.
Yeah, so we actually got that through a grant. I wrote it with one of our unit teachers, and we wrote it so that it is a mobile sensory table. And so how we wrote it was that in theory, classes would adopt it every month and kind of change it out either for a season or a focus. When we left, we had 3D shapes in there. So that was our focus. But we were, again, going to change it out. And that all kind of went away with everything. But we also, within the grant, ordered enough supplies to do a whole year if a class doesn't adopt it. We have animals. We were going to do brown bear, what do you see? And they find the animals in the bin and all kinds of things. However, it doesn't have to be tied to a lesson. It's also just, if a kid needs an outlet and they need to go to the sensory area, mm-hmm. checking out, then we can do that too. So
yeah, I mean, I know MySpace gets used a lot for kids that need to calm down and relax sometimes. So
for a brain break.
That's why I was asking about it, is trying to figure out if it's something middle school might be able to adopt.
I ordered, as part of it, we ordered the hockey stools, like, so they, you know, so those are over there also. So, you know, a lot of different options, and it has a lid, so it does have a flat space, like you could work on it. It's really more or less for, like, you could do sand in it too. We're not going to do sand.
Oh, come on now. Just
my bad. What? No sand? Gee, I think sand sounds great.
I'm going to opt out on that.
I used to have a rice table in my classroom.
I think that would work great in middle school, Anita. I actually put out a lot of things, like coloring things for students to color. They just come in and sit down mm-hmm. and color right away, and I do different themes with that, or holidays or something, and it's amazing. It's just a simple coloring, but they come in and they sit down and do that, the puzzles, all of that. I mean, middle schoolers they really still like all of that, and it is a great place for them to go and, like you said, just calm down and relax, and just, you know, a lot of students have told me, I don't have to think. You know what I mean? Yeah. I get to stop thinking, and yeah. It's a great thing. And I really like, Ashley, how you talked about how it's constantly changing. I love that, because I think that that is something that's so important in school libraries today, is that you can create great things, but you're always reassessing and asking students and looking at students' needs and changing it up and incorporating new trends and things like that, as, you know, practice as a school librarian and stuff. So I love that. I think that's a huge thing in our profession right now.
Yeah, for sure. And what I had in mind 5 years ago when I started, some of that's out the window now. So
yep constantly evolving, but that's what makes it awesome. The school library is such, you know, the hub and all. So Jill, would you like to go ahead and share yours?
Well, first of all, I'm super jealous of your physical space, Ashley. We have not fully transitioned. We've been doing a lot of dreaming, and our county has kind of adopted. They started with the greatest need, and I guess we would still consider us a newer school. However, our school started in 2000. So even though we're newer, our model is needs some refreshing. So we've tried to do some creative things in that regards, but I am jealous of a actual redone Learning Commons for sure. But yes, hub of the school for sure. I would say we're an active place, a welcoming place, a place that always looks different, just like Ashley said, every single day. We do have one area that has been kind of fun. We developed a little green screen room. Because we're a STEM school, I've been a part of I teach a little class regularly on digital storytelling. So we kind of developed a little green screen room with some cubbies where they can do, we always found recording was an issue with sound. So we made some little cubbies that they can record. There's little stop motions and whatnot, but classes coming in, you know, through the years it's changed as far as we used to, of course, have all the desktops in the library where the kids came to do the research. Then we went to the CART model where we pushed the computers out, and we're now a one-to-one school, which is a beautiful thing, but it, of That's course, amazing. Has had kind of figuring how that works. And so now, you know, the kids might bring their computers down with them when they come. And, you know, that obviously opened up a lot more possibilities when we got to that point. But hectic. It's crazy. I mean, isn't that what mm-hmm. we do? It's a zoo, mm-hmm. and we go where the point of need is, and the point of need is always changing.
Mm-hmm. Daily, sometimes.
Absolutely.
Hourly.
Yes.
Jill, with this.
We're all so excited about this, Jill. We all just want to talk at the same time.
I know. Sorry.
Ingrid, you go first.
I want to hear more about your recording room and these cubbies. That sounds amazing. And I know I have some issues in my space. I'm new to my school. This will be my second year coming up, and it's just one gigantic room and there's no dividers. So I'm just very enthralled with the idea of your green screen.
Well, as you know, nothing is perfect. I tell the kids all the time, this is not an actual TV studio. We do the best we can and it's better. It's like when I first started there, it was my, this will date me, that we had, PBS, GPTV, those big school satellites, y'all remember? So yes. We had all of our equipment for that in that room, and we had...
Oh, Joe, we lost you.
...the announcement crew in this tiny little room. And through the years, it's changed to different spaces. If I start sounding like a robot, will y'all tell me?
We will. We sound good.
Okay. I was just thinking of those satellites that Ingrid has outside her library.
Right? It's huge. You can swim in it. It's ginormous.
That's funny. No, I keep getting this internet connection is unstable, and I'm known to sometimes turn into a robot, but I'm trusting y'all will tell me if I do. The space now, we transformed it. We painted the whole room green. We put office cubbies in there, like little cubicles.
Oh,
okay. Three of them. And so the wall is painted green behind it, so they could do, like I said, it's not perfect, but... They could do stop motions with the wall and to have more of a quiet space. We also, it was kind of fun a couple years ago, we did, kids were recording a lot in the classrooms. And so we had, because sound is a fourth grade standard, we kind of collaborated and did a project where the kids tested different materials for what best blocked sound. And so they ended up designing these little sound boxes that we made for teachers to keep in their classrooms too. So we still use those some too, but it's nice to have that space to send kids to.
That's awesome. I love the idea that you brought in cubbies. That's so creative.
And yeah, I was thinking like cubbies, like where you put.
I was too, like where you put a book.
It's like it's office cubicles.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
That's so creative. So
they're flush against the wall. I'll try to find a picture.
Were those donated or did you buy them?
No, I that was something nice that the county helped me to do a couple years ago.
That's very cool.
It was probably cleaning out their office, just to be honest. So that's cool. Now I have a question because we have middle schoolers. Are you able to see into them?
Oh, absolutely.
Because
it's a room that has glass windows all around it. And we put the cubbies on the wall such that, yes, we can see in there.
That's very neat. I can visualize that so much. My question, Jill, so your library is heavily focused on STEM, you said?
Well, our school is a STEM school. So one thing that I do is teach that digital production class. But we also, obviously, literacy is obviously my number one focus. And connecting people to, that's what I view my job as, connecting people to each other, connecting people to technologies, connecting students to books. I have tried to go deep instead of wide in the things that I do. You go to these meetings and you feel so inadequate when you hear what other people do.
Oh, no.
We don't want you to feel like that. Look at all you've accomplished.
I do feel that. The work we do is important, but it's we all can't do everything, I guess is what I'm saying.
It's true.
Known them deeply and make an impact.
Yep.
This year for us, our county had a big focus, literacy for Hall is what they called it. Since we're Hall County, literacy for all, literacy for Hall, just everyone embracing literacy, not just literacy teachers. So we did some things this year that I felt like really had a deep impact in that regards.
That's awesome.
Things? Do you have any that you want to pass on to the rest of us?
I'll tell you, and then I don't want to take up all of, let Ashley tell her fabulous things too, but probably the thing that I was most proud of and that I felt like had the deepest impact was at the beginning of the year. We get this money for literacy every year that normally, it's not my budget, it's the instructional budget. Normally we buy leveled readers with it. And we were kind of at the point that we didn't need leveled readers and we have so much access, reading A to Z and those kinds of things that I pitched this idea to my principal and AP, and they both ran with it. But it was so cool. We had a book fair come in and set up a book fair type situation, and we used that whole budget, instructional budget, to let the kids, every single child came in and got to spend $15 that we then physically put those books in their classrooms for their basic deer time. We picked up deer time again this year, but the ownership that they had over those, it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like that, because I often, during a book fair, will set out a cart, just like one of my book carts from the back room, and I'll set it out and say, choose books for the library, and just put a little sign on it, and the students will then go through the book
fair. I love that.
Put books on it. But yeah, I also, I mean, 90% of my orders are student requests, so I try to follow that as well, because I've found if I choose it, I'm not going to read it. If they choose it, they're going to read it.
Yep. Very true.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, Jill. I like that. Ashley, you got something you want to share about your program?
Yeah, I was going to say, I love that. And I wish that we had more like school-wide literacy or district-wide literacy initiatives. We host a literacy day every year, which is great and fabulous. And it does involve whole school, like the whole school gets involved. And we have we usually have an author come, the public librarians come. It's very volunteer driven, but I wish that it was something like that, that it was like this heavily invested, event or something that went on all year would be amazing. But I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
So then at your school, you want to share that you're doing, Ashley?
Yeah, so this year we started our read and cycle program. So we have, I know many schools have like desk cycles or something like that. And we do have, they're just the things that slide under your desk to cycle. And I did it, I wrote it for a grant. I didn't receive the grant, but I did a video of the kids because that was part of writing it, was that having kids. And so my students were super disappointed we didn't get it. So like, it's okay, I'm gonna buy them. I'm gonna figure out a way to buy them. It's okay.
That's awesome.
So I ended up purchasing them off of Amazon, and I just have four of them right now. But they're just desk cycles. They go kind of where our flexible furniture is. And so the rule kind of is, if you come in and you're reading on the cycles, they log their mileage on the base. And we just have laminated posters and they just write them. And when the posters are full, we take a picture, write it down, and we erase it. We start over. Nothing technical, nothing crazy. So my goal this year, because this was our first year, was to have the students tally up how long we read for as a school. Again, we got waylaid with that. But we have all the numbers still. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to do something next year with all of that. But the kids love to come in, like, you know, some teachers have like kids assigned who pedals what day and different things like that. But it gets them moving. And again, it kind of goes back to the sensory area too. Sometimes kids just need to come in and move and get it kind of thing. So that's something that's been successful this year, was the read and cycle, I guess, program.
That's awesome.
So what advice would you ladies have for other school librarians to help them grow their programs to the level that the two of you have? Do you want to start with Jill? Let's start with Jill.
I guess I'll go first. Build relationships, I think, is the foundation of everything. Be very goal-oriented and intentional with your time, because our job is one that pulls you in so many different directions, and you can easily get sucked into things that are not your job. So to be very protective of how you choose to invest your time, to invest your time deeply, to work with your committee in your school to develop some visions and goals. And then just to build the relationships to get there, and to know that it takes time. When I first started as a media specialist, which was back in 1999, another lady at a school in Savannah gave me some great advice that I did not follow, but I would recommend other people to follow. when she said, don't start anything unless you want to continue it. Meaning that, just what I said, you can get pulled into so many programs and that people then begin to expect that she's the girl that does that here at our school. And I'm deeply invested in my school culture and I love that. And I have taken on too many things through the years, but I just think choose what you want to do, build relationships to have the group there to support you, be, you know, have great relationships with your administration to make it happen and know that things take time.
I think it's a great tip right there is to know that things do take time. I'm only fifth year and I feel like I want to do all of the things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've done this for 20 years and I'm still trying to figure out my job because the target's always moving. Mm-hmm. But at the core of what we do, I say the way I get there has changed, but the mission of what I do has not changed.
Mm-hmm. Going back and refocusing or staying focused, is this what's best for the kids? Is this aligned with the library? You know, does this align with, you know, what the goals are and everything like that? I have to do that often.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, that's great advice. I like that.
Mm-hmm. It was very good advice. Ashley?
Yeah, I know. I kind of just want to say I ditto all of the things she said. And I think it speaks, and I think you guys talked about this when you interviewed the other regional winners about building relationships. Mm-hmm. And that goes beyond with your teachers. Well, that is very important. And I couldn't do my job without my amazing teachers letting me teach students, essentially, you know. But building with your administration, with your parents, and keeping, like you said, students at the forefront of what we do. Is this what's best for kids? Are kids going to
Right.
You know, like Anita was saying about how most of her book choices come from her kids. You know, that's important. That's our driving force. And I think sometimes we forget about that in our paperwork and our reports and our team meetings and all the things that we have to do. So that's just, it's very important. And I have a really great working relationship with my admin. And I know that that helps my program also. Yes. And I know that's something that comes with time. I've worked for my AP for, this will be our eighth year together, I think. So, I mean, we know each other and that takes time. I mean, that's what it goes to, is just taking the time to build those relationships. And I'm a big believer of use and toss. So I send all kinds of things to my teachers, my staff, my admin, even to students. I'm like, here, if you want to use it, great. If you don't, that's cool too. And I feel like if we pull in a couple of teachers or students with whatever we're trying to do, then it spreads, and that's how we're successful. We figure out what works and what doesn't work. So that would be my main, those would be my main thing, is just, it does take time. And I know that's hard because we all want to do everything right away.
Yes.
Right? You know, I'm even like writing, digital story time area. Like,
well, and I love your sensory idea because to be perfectly honest, like we're a STEM school, but I have not fully embraced the makerspace. Now we do a lot of that stuff, but I'm also a very structured person. So I haven't wanted a free for all. I work with teachers and do those kinds of things, but not, I just have been trying to be intentional, but I love the sensory. I love that a lot.
So I'm thinking on that, Jill, that makes me think, okay, we have, so many different spaces in our library that we're trying to manage, you know. So Ashley has her sensory, we have our maker spaces, we're trying to teach, we're trying to be in a classroom, you know. So how do you guys manage that in your library programs? Because kind of like what Anita was talking about with middle school, we can't just let the kids just run off and go to a space without it supervised. And so how do you guys manage that in your spaces? Kind of maybe some tips or strategies to give to our audience. And what you do, you know, with that.
Jill, do you want to go or you want me to go
first? It doesn't matter. Either way.
I'll go. Okay.
It's hard. It's like awkward. Like, I know you can't read my body language.
I don't know.
you go so first.
I'm super fortunate. I have a full-time parapro. Mm-hmm. And I can't do my job without her. I don't know how my friends
agree.
Parapros.
No.
I don't know how you do it. And she is my savior some days. Mm-hmm. So I'm fortunate in the respect that my makerspace has windows. So we always have our eyes on what the kids are doing. And it's an open door policy. The kids don't close the door in there. So we always have eyes on them. However, we do have spaces because we just have essentially one large room that's divided into different areas that we do. I mean, it is a constant monitoring and walking mm-hmm. around. And I mean, I'm never just sitting at my desk twiddling my thumbs in my office as
no,
right?
You know, so, and again, I have great teachers who will come in and help me if I need it. Cause in the
that's morning, awesome.
You know, other people have other responsibilities. You know, we have tech crew, news crew, safety patrol, mm-hmm. makerspace, yes. checkout, you know, all the things. So, I mean, it takes a village essentially to come
yeah.
in.
So yeah, because I've found on days where I'm like really super busy and I'm being pulled and asked, you know, I'm being pulled in the direction of teachers and admin and things that I have to do for our district library media and things like that. And sometimes I feel like kids are coming to me and they're like, Mrs. Quintana, you know, Mrs. Quintana, Mrs. Quintana, and I'm being pulled in all of these other things. And so like the being able to just stop all of the other things and just focus on the kids and in the library, I feel like sometimes that gets lost, like our purpose in our own spaces, you know what I mean? And so mm-hmm. to like bring that in and find ways to make sure that that is priority is so important. But Jill, did you have something to add to that?
Well, I'll just echo the clerk. I mean, I could not do anything without my clerk, and I've had lots of amazing clerks through the years, and I have a wonderful clerk now that she,
I mean, is she full time?
Oh yes. And okay. our county, Hall County has been so great to support us in that way. We have continued to have full-time clerks. And I don't know how people function.
I agree. I couldn't,
it's hard.
I couldn't without a full-time.
Yeah. I mean, it's a challenge.
Here comes
it's a challenge. Yes.
Advocate. We need our parapros back full time. We need our parapros back full time.
We do.
Cobb County School District that listens, that gets to make decisions. I don't care that we're getting a 14% budget cut. We need our parapros back full time. Period. Yeah. Because we're going to be super busy. We need to support our teachers and our students. And that is a resource that we are desperately needing. We need our parapros back full time. Because if I have my parapro back full time, I can collaborate with more teachers and I can do more of the things that I get paid to do and not stand there and check out books.
I also don't have to shut your space down. I have to physically close right. my space when I teach. Oh, so
I feel a little passion.
Ask it again if he could come in.
So hi, Spencer.
It'll be on YouTube later.
I don't care.
Well, and I just want to throw out there before we lose the thought too, is that even if we do digital learning, I incorporated my para into that. So she still helped with all of the organization mm-hmm. participation and being there with the students when we were in our Zoom lessons and things like
absolutely.
That. They were, she was still supporting me so much through the digital learning process too. So they don't need to, I hope they don't go away if, you know, we don't go back to school in the fall and everything like that, because I feel like school librarians have really, really worked hard and done such a fabulous job getting our kids, you know, from the physical library space onto, you know, into the digital learning by collaborating with teachers, but also by, you know, look at Ashley, she did her daily story time and her videos with Dingo and stuff. And same with Anita. Anita did her, did you do first chapter or was it
first? Yeah, it was first or second chapter, depending on the length of the chapter.
Mm-hmm. And so, and a lot of, you know, we just did so many different things digitally and things like that, but my para really helped with me organizing that. So very important, Jill, very, very important.
Ashley. Well, it's critical. The other thing I'll say that has helped life so much, and I was reluctant to do it, was finally going to student self-checkout. I've had student self-check in for years. But I was still a little hesitant to do the checkout, and I lose track of time, but I feel like maybe 2 or 3 years ago we went to student self-checkout, and that just frees both of us so much, mm-hmm. frees us up so much to be able to help everybody better. And just having those relationships with teachers so that we have expectations and we know like purpose, we know task structure, what the kids are coming down for, so that we can, you know, not lose that 10 minutes of okay. Who are you, why are you here, and what are you doing?
So Jill, I have to say, we went to student self-checkout as well. And my parapro is only there on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And she's one that she likes to check out those books because she's like, I don't know that they're doing it right, because we did lose some in the first couple of years and everything.
Well, sure.
And so she's like, I don't know if they're doing it right. So I like to be here when they're checking out, but we do have the option for them to check them out. So on days that she's not there, I'm standing on the outside of the counter. I don't stand behind the counter in the mornings when we have 100 kids in the room. I just can't. So I'll stand on the other side. Sometimes we'll have a student helper back there, but I'm there in case anybody needs an override code or anything,
because right.
they have a book that's overdue or something right. like that. But yeah, it's hard to get my parapro, who's so used to doing check out, check in, check out, check in, and all that stuff, that she cannot release control to this.
Gotcha.
And I'm trying to tell you, they do it on Tuesdays and Thursdays when you're not here, so you've got to let them do it. So
absolutely.
Well, I think you touched on the students too, the student help.
Yes. And I would say that I have student checkout, but my babies will come and find me no matter what I'm doing and be like, Miss Hansen, I can't
yes.
find this book. Or what book mean. Should I yes. read next? And they can well, check it out on their own, but they want that interaction.
They absolutely. Do. That's what I'm talking that's about.
What,
yes.
That's what I feel like the self-checkout allows for that more. And my yeah. my mm-hmm. clerk has said so many times, and she's so fabulous, and she's such an avid reader, and she keeps notes on different books and, you know, makes great recommendations. And she said that so many times, that having the self-checkout has allowed her to be more free to engage in helping yes. the kids really connect with the books rather than just helping them physically check them out.
Yeah, in our mornings, because we normally have about 100 students in the CLC during homeroom time, before homeroom starts, so from 8:50 to 9:10, we'll have about 100 students sign in. And so I typically am circulating and helping students. We have another parapro who is the ISS parapro, but she was my heavy duty media mom when she was a volunteer at the school. And Jeff actually called me before he hired her and said, I'm taking away your top media mom. And I said, well, on days she's not busy, can she work in the CLC? And he's like, absolutely. So that's been for the last few years, her morning duty station has been in the CLC because we've been so busy. Mm-hmm. And so I typically am circulating. She's typically circulating, looking for any maybe issues that might be coming up that she can squelter really quick. And then my parapro is closer to the circulation desk. A lot of times I get pulled to answer technology questions from the students. Oh, yes. Miss yeah. Foster, I'm having trouble mm-hmm. finding the printer. Or Miss Foster,
oh yes,
this document, and what do I need to do because I can't find it now, and stuff like that. So that's really good that we actually have three in there in the mornings, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's just the other parapro and I, and not my parapro that I have. So yeah, it stinks only 103 days a week.
You know what I've seen on social media recently as well, school librarians talking about having the plastic shields now put around the circulation desks and everything. So Jeff, yeah. Ashley, I don't know if you've heard anything in Cobb. I know I haven't heard anything in Cobb, but like that's like something that they're considering now, and also that might be something.
It just, honestly, I just don't even, there's no way. My kids literally walk around that to talk to
you. I'm like, they're standing like, oh, right
just come around.
Yes,
here.
Yes, yeah. Ashley.
Okay, so this is the point where I need to tell you what I walked into my first day. I walked into Autry. They called it the case. And our circulation desk had that glass that has the wire mesh in it. And there was a hole, no lie, that was this big for the librarian to talk to the people through and slide their. We had that. It went down my first year because I even had county people come in and tell me, oh, it can't be pulled down because it's load bearing. And then one day I didn't know who I was talking to, and it was their supervisor. And I said, can you tell me if this is load bearing or not? And he popped up there and went, no, why? I said, they told me they couldn't pull it down because it's load bearing. And he was like, who? And I said, I don't know, the guy that came out here to check it for the county. And he's like, I'm their supervisor. When do you want it down?
Well, even at, I got to tell you though, Anita was also the brains when I transitioned from my last school into my new school, and the circulation desk was not in a prime location. And Anita was the brain power behind moving the desk, and I sent into the county and asked permission, and they said no. And Anita was like, well, no, just have your husband move it. I'm like, Okay. So yes, Anita gets things done one way or the other.
Well, the thing is with circulation desks, my desk cannot be moved. It is bricked to the location that it's in. I can't move my, so I like to go into other media specialists, media center locations and say, okay, what can we do in here that can be done?
That's so funny. Well, it works very well in my space. I appreciate you.
So shield guards, sneeze guards, no, I'll wear a mask. I'm not.
No.
To the students like that.
So Jill and Ashley, being a GLMA Region Library Media Specialist of the Year, now Ashley, the actual GLMA Library Media Specialist of the Year, your guys are going to be seen as leaders in our field. So how do you plan to use your leadership in these new recognitions that you've received to help other school librarians? Jill, you want to go first?
Okay. Well, I lost you there for a minute, but the question was, how do I plan to use this recognition to help others,
be a leader in our field promote, or support other school library media specialists? How do you plan to use your title as Library Media Specialist of the Year to serve as a leader in our field?
So how to use our powers for good.
Stop it. I was just thinking that in my head. I was trying to use your superpowers here.
How do you use your powers?
Powers for good. Okay. Well, first of all, I work in an amazing county with so many amazing media specialists that I said that earlier about you go to meetings and feel inadequate because you hear what other people do that is so amazing. But that's the whole deal, is we all have our areas of special, our special areas of expertise and things that we bring to the table. So being an advocate, I'll be honest, is probably not my strength. I don't do enough of that probably. I would say I'm very much have been a leader in my county as far as leading different initiatives and in my school, but in a broader sense, probably not, which I think I think it was on your podcast yesterday, you were talking about, we're stronger together. And I have not done a good job of connecting with other media specialists outside of my county. I think that's something that I can do a better job of, both for teaching and learning, that I do have something to offer as far as the programs that I've developed through the years, but more than anything, I have something to learn from all of the other people throughout our region and state. And I tend to get too busy working in my own little corner of the world. I have deep collaborations in my school and in my county, but I just see potential to grow those to better my own self and to contribute and share. So I was very honored to have this recognition and to have kind of a platform to be able to more strongly connect with folks like you.
Awesome.
That is amazing.
All righty. Well, Dingo made it all the way through until he started barking.
Right?
He's so cute.
I love Dingo. Now I'm going to put my headphones in because my husband decided to mow the grass all the time.
Oh man,
Dingo. Dingo has been awesome through the entire COVID thing. Like,
I know he's been making appearances. He's famous. So
I just love when he looks up at you, like really listening to you. Thursdays, like he's taking Dingo. It all in.
I know.
Isn't it Thursdays with Dingo?
Yep. And today's
Thursday.
Yeah, there you go. You're boring me, Mom.
I know. Stop. Make it stop. It was so funny. My husband, he's so funny. He's telling everybody that'll listen that, my wife.
He should be proud of you.
Yes. But he asked me, he's like, okay, so what now? What's next? I don't know. World domination? Like, I don't know. But I do collaborate with other media specialists, and I try to work with those outside of our county, I love Amanda Jones. I love, she was on another school librarian podcast. She and I started chatting during GLMA, during the Summer Institute. So my thing is though, I'm not a member of ALA. I have it pulled up on my computer. I'm like, oh my gosh, why have I not joined at the national level? Mm-hmm. He's tweeting all these things out that I could be reading if I was a member and all. And so, you know, I told my husband, I was like, I think we need to start thinking. We, like, he's a media specialist. past Georgia, you know, like, because we get caught in our bubble. And even in the Southeast, you know, of how things go. And it's crazy because I love connecting with educators at a global level.
Me too.
I love to travel. And I, you know, traveled with teachers last summer. And to hear that their programs, like those in California, they don't have a full-time media specialist.
Mm-hmm. So we may not even have school librarians. I just read somebody said that they just were let go after 10 years in their school in California.
Yeah,
and it's just crazy. Unbelievable to me.
I worked briefly in California 2000 to 2002. And I mean, yes, then I had trouble finding a job. I worked at a very small private Catholic high school, but yeah, there were so many public schools that did not have libraries.
No.
It's like,
I know.
I cannot wrap my head around that because we are so integral to what goes on in the school with finding resources for teachers and teaching lessons with teachers and collaborating with teachers and helping find the books that they love. I cannot imagine having no one in that position to do that.
I mean, so we need to advocate for our jobs mm-hmm. at a global, international, like, mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't something that, you know, just is, you know, important to us in Georgia, you know, it's right. Everywhere. And in fact, when I was talking to teachers in Finland, they were like, a media specialist, like, what's that? Like, what is that? And I was like, school librarian. it's crazy to think about, you know. So I think
Finland didn't have them.
They did not have them at the schools that I visited, the teacher schools. However, I got my idea to visit the public library for field trips from them because they would take their students to the public library, like the classroom teachers would.
Wow.
But then the public librarian doesn't collaborate with teachers the way that we do.
No. And again, it's totally a different world, you know, I mean, but yeah. So he was like, so what do you do? And I explained to them, you know, what they do. But you know what? The Ron Clark Academy here in Atlanta.
Yes, I heard. I heard that.
So it's crazy that there are innovative top performing places that we think about that we're thinking, imagine if they had somebody in our role, what that would
right.
be. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Wow, that's great advice, Ashley. Like just being involved being a leader as a school librarian, being involved in your professional organizations and collaborating, like you said, with other library media specialists. We often, Ingrid and Anita and I, we get in this conversation where like, we're not bragging when we get on here and talk about the things we do in our libraries. We're on here because we want to collaborate with other media specialists. We want to have those conversations because of the important things that we just said about people being made aware of the impact that we make and the things that we do in our roles, because we serve so many different people in the school and, you know, do so many different things in our roles. And so that whole advocacy piece is so important.
I agree. So I have a question for you. What advice would you give any other Georgia librarian who is like, I don't want to go through this process, or I want to know more about this process of becoming a library media specialist. From our conversations the other day, other different districts do it differently because they were describing something where you can nominate yourself and that's not how it is in Cobb. I don't know how it is in the Hall County, Jill, but what advice would you give another library media specialist who is about to go through this process?
Mm-hmm. We do take nominations in Hall County.
We do too. It's just you cannot self-nominate in Cobb.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You can in Hall. Advice, Ashley, what's your advice? Do you have
ending a sleep in? Sorry, I had to take a picture of that. Nice. And this goes for really anything, but especially if you are about to write an application or go through an application process or a nomination process, is document, document, document.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything you That's do, anything you create, you're not bragging. You are advocating for every mm-hmm. little that you do. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me one time that I needed to write down everything I'd like, account for every minute of my day at work one day. And I mean, our list is like,
mm-hmm. cool.
So that would be my main thing.
Well, and I'll go along with that because I get busy sometimes with the documenting. Documenting also in pictures, like even as we've been sitting here talking, I've been scrolling.
That's a great point.
My own Twitter feed and my own, collection here, like, oh yeah, totally forgot when I was talking about STEM earlier. Mm-hmm. I was like, totally forgot I did those STEM story times in the library where we were, you know, doing the runaway pumpkin and we were building ramps and rolling pumpkins, and I forgot about that. So in a world where we are so fast, have some visuals that you have, a place where you store them to use that to come back to. You do more than you think. We all do more.
We do more than what a lot of people think we do. So that
yes.
we're not standing behind the circulation desk, and no, we're not reading all day. I'd like to. You know what I mean?
We're
but
not
yeah, so
and eating bonbons.
Yeah.
No.
And so yeah, I mean, looking at the applications that I've seen for Library Media Specialists of the Year and the questions, they're pretty intense. I mean, they're pretty intense. So you
it's
really
very
have
thorough.
To. Very. And so the documentation part of it, I mean, I when I sit down and I look at the questions, I forget everything I do in a day, every day, all week, all mm-hmm. stuff like that. So
right.
yes, the pictures are very helpful. I'm very up to date on my library website and blog. I put like almost everything on there, plus the Twitter. You're right, Ashley. The documentation is so important for us personally, but also as an advocacy piece for library media specialists as well.
And I can't remember if I said this the other day or not, but it goes in really well here. I do a OneNote notebook for my SLDI, and I do, on your head, did I say it the other day?
No, but I was just thinking that too, that really keeps me on track as far as being able to communicate what happens in my space, because I started at the beginning of the year and then just continue to add to it. And that was your advice, Anita, and I took it.
I do a OneNote notebook because we're a Microsoft Schools district. So each standard has its own tab. And then in there, I put what the standard is on one page, what my goal is on the other, another page, and then what is my documentation for reaching that goal. And when I went to Mr. Crawford at the beginning of the year, because he wanted to know what goal I wanted to do, I had one for all 10. And I went, you pick. Which one do you want me to focus on? Because I'm going to do my best to reach all 10 of these this year.
And see, I think that's a great curation on a personal level. But what people need to see that. They need to visualize that out on a website or Twitter or Facebook or whatever your platform is, Instagram.
I made a YouTube video of mine. It's like a 3 or 4 minute video. And it's on our Overdue.
I'm not calling you out or anything.
It's on our, well, I already did it. I did it months ago when we first talked about it. It's already on our Overdue YouTube channel. So if anybody wants to go and.
No. No, I'm saying all of the things that you put in your OneNote need to be visualized for the world to see.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that back, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I had an academic coach who came in and like made me make this like big board with my calendar and pictures of what was happening in my space and what we did every day. And she's like, you need to put this out in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
It like beat me down because I wasn't doing it. Eventually I communicated it in other ways, but sometimes it takes someone to say, nobody knows what you do. Nobody has any idea, and you have to give them a visual. So I agree with you, Lori. And it made a huge difference for me when people were like, oh, well, I didn't realize you were so busy.
Well, I get really used to seeing like Ashley, you were talking about Amanda. Amanda is somebody on Twitter that I see often as well. And I know, and I start to see different library media specialists out there. Like when Ashley starts out her Twitter, it starts out with @FrayFlames, and then she continues with that and whatever. So she's already built a brand for herself and for her library space and for her school. And she's making that impact or showing that impact of her, of what she does in her profession every day and stuff. So it's not about bragging. Like we keep going back to that. It's not about the bragging, and it's not about where, you know, you're trying to be an edu celebrity. That's the new term out there and everything like that. But it's a huge advocacy piece. But think about it past that. It is inspiring to other library media specialists who Jill has referred to, like, not sure if I do exactly as much as somebody else, but you do things that other people would love to learn about. It doesn't even matter. I learned so many new things at conferences, on Twitter, talking to people, doing these podcasts and everything. Everybody has something to bring to the table. And putting that out there, I can't stress it enough. You know, when we put surveys out on Twitter, or when we ask, you know, Ashley and I tag team as the GLMA Twitter social media chairs. And so we're putting questions out there. We're trying to really get people share, please share.
And it's hard.
It's very hard.
People don't want to share your things.
Yes,
I know. They don't. And like I said before, I think sometimes it just has to start at a much smaller level. I think that there's still a lot of us that are living in schools where people don't know what they're doing. They've got a core group of teachers that they work with regularly. The students are in, they're working with their admin, but there's an entire population within their own schools that don't realize the awesomeness that is their school librarian.
So in December, Holly gave us, our supervisor gave us the opportunity for professional development to go and visit another school. And that's amazing. I was blessed to be able to go and visit Miss Martha Bongiorno.
Yay!
One of the things that she had in her office, I came home immediately, ordered it from Amazon, and I have it up right behind my desk. Last year I moved my desk out from behind a wall where nobody could see me, out to the middle of the CLC. So it's on a wall right behind me is a big calendar.
Me too.
Dry erase.
Oh, when I got a dry erase board in my office, that changed my life.
Yes.
That put in on there what I'm, who I'm collaborating with. I put on there what lessons I'm teaching. I put on there anything that I need to do that's on my to-do list for that collaboration. So like, for example, eighth grade social studies, and they're doing a unit on civil rights, and I need to find some resources for them. So I'll come and put it in on that calendar as things to do. And people since then have been like, wow, you do a lot. And then supposed to be gone for several days to do a conference. I had it blocked off on there, and they're like, yeah, you can't leave during that time. We need you. So I think by making public what all you do, what you are doing for the school, that shows them everything.
Exactly.
But go a little bit deeper than that, Anita, and share that lesson out there and the engagement of the students and you interacting with the students. Because I feel like that's another way that we can help each other as library media specialists, is sharing our teaching strategies and our pedagogies and our lessons that we create and things like that, where I think that would open up a big, you know, when we're asking people to share things, well, what is it exactly that they're wanting us to share? What, you know what I mean? So like that very specific, activity or lesson or whatever it was you're doing in your space every day with the world is so important.
So on that note,
it's so abstract. Take it out of the
air. I had to step away, but I do have one more question when I come back. So go ahead and ask your question, Ingrid. I just have
okay. All right, ladies. So on that note, what would you have to share with the GLMA members that are out there who may be listening? Is there anything that you would like to say to them or share with them?
You know, I think it goes back. Okay.
About anything in the universe?
I think it goes back though to advocating. I mean, again, there are plenty of people who come to Simmer Institute and they never share out, maybe even with their staff, what they learned or, you know, away or what they did or, you know, anything like that. So, I mean, that would be really my main advice. And if you're not a member of GLMA and you live in Georgia, you should join.
You should join for sure.
At least respond to mine and Ashley's questions, please.
Right. I mean, or just retweet it or like it. Or
something. Let us know you're there. We are like a little time to join. We're a little over 1,400 members. I want to tell you something, guys. When Ashley and I started doing Twitter for GLMA, there was a little over 800, and we're a little over 1,400 strong on Twitter now. So
That's awesome.
We know you're out there.
Ladies. Well, and see, like, okay, I mean, seeing your faces now, like, now I know you. Like, yes. I mean, you don't know me.
It's important.
And beach hair, don't care, and my no makeup and my swimsuit, but I see you. And I, because I told you that's my weakness. I have not been well connected. I'm very well connected in my own county, but I have not done a good job getting out of my own world in that way. You know, you talked about visiting other schools. I mean, that's where I love visiting other schools within our county. And when we went through our STEM certification process, I had the opportunity to visit several schools outside of our county and learn from that. But I really love that notion of doing that across counties as well.
We should get a library crawl going. We should do a library crawl.
Honestly,
I love that.
You give me something to organize. That's my jam. I can organize like crazy. Like that is very
Holly, if you're listening,
going to some. You know, making some structures to make things possible. Let's visit each other. That's a powerful, powerful thing.
You know what, Jill? When we first started this podcast, we were thinking locally, really locally, and it was within a first of our few podcasts getting published that we realized we need to be thinking globally.
I love that
because we have people that listen to us all over the world, not even just in the United States, but all over the world. But what really excited me was the other day in Summer Institute when GLMA did our Summer Institute because we couldn't be face-to-face. We had people from New York. We had people from Missouri. We had people.
I love that.
Washington.
That were Washington that were on there with us. And they're like, hey, I'm just tuning in. I'm from, and they would tell the state and the session. And I just thought that was the coolest thing because we as librarians need to reach out to those that are in Michigan and in California that have cut their library media specials. And we need to come up with a way to advocate for those schools because it's not the librarian that's hurt. They can go out and we can get another job.
Right. But the kids
and those teachers.
It's all about the kids.
Suffering. So we need to help just try and advocate globally and not just locally.
Well, I'm going to need y'all to change your date because I was going to come to Institute the past couple years and I guess I have to change my beach date. But, the past couple years I had planned to come and then it's beach date, but I made it for a little bit.
Well, it's in Savannah now. It's in Savannah.
I know that. I saw
that. So maybe some beach time there.
Just at St. Simon's, so we can just do it so that I go to Savannah and then hop down here to St. Simon's. So there we go.
There you go.
Well, and thank you again for just taking time out of your beach vacation. I'm so impressed with that. Honestly, I would probably be like, listen, y'all, I just can't make it next week.
Oh, you would not.
Like I'm at the beach. So
you're awesome, Ingrid. You would not.
I have a feeling you would be here, but that's what we do is our, I don't consider it a job. It's my life's work. And it's, the work we do matters. It matters a lot.
And I just want to say, too, that we did open this up to all regional library media specialists of the year, and we had four reply. Well, we had five, and then one didn't reply to our second request for a day. So I do have one question for you. I didn't want to do anything for leaving anybody out. We did not. And it, honestly, if those library media specialists contact us, we will be happy to schedule you to come in for an interview.
For sure, if you change your mind, gosh, just reach out to any of us.
It's so important.
I saved this question for the because I'm sure Ashley heard it on the last one too. I need your elevator speech. So what? Somebody from the district walks in, and
oh man,
what do you tell them?
I listened to 90% of your interview, but I cut out for the pool at the end, and I missed that question. So, Ashley, what's your elevator speech while I jot mine down?
Well, it would be to remind them that we actually have a service certificate. So we are teachers, but it's a service certificate. So we are actually here as true. And Dingo's going crazy now, too. You're welcome.
Freeze.
He's like, yeah, Mom. Yeah.
You tell him.
We are here to serve stakeholders. So we serve, again, a variety of stakeholders. We don't just serve teachers, students, and admin. Like if you were a coach or if you were just a classroom teacher. I don't say just like they're not important, but we have a bigger purpose. And I think that's important. For them to remember, and I would explain that to them. But also, I had some district people just stick their heads into my space. Mm-hmm. We're in the process of redoing our logo and things. And, you know, I said, welcome to the biggest classroom in the building. Is there anything that you would like to see? You know, just reminding them that that's what my space is utilized for. So. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right, Jill, what you got?
Well, I love that. I mean, with a little time, I could have a great elevator speech, but off the cuff, I'll just say that, well, I love how Ashley said it's the biggest classroom in the building, because absolutely, it's the biggest classroom in the building. And not just the biggest classroom, but here we are that we can, you know, it's almost like we don't have, they're not walls to our library anymore. You know, we can have an impact to students and communities in our schools. Having that clerk enables me to go into classrooms and teach with a teacher. It enables me to go and meet with our ESOL parents that are wanting more ways for their kids to interact with literacy. And just that the work we do matters. And at the elementary school level, especially, we know how important building those foundations in literacy, and I'm just such a huge advocate for student choice in books and literacy. You know, I don't know how y'all do it in Cobb, but we wear a lot of these technology hats too, as far as being our blended learning specialist at our school and, you know, training teachers. And it's just the media specialist has a really critical I would argue that the effectiveness of your media specialist and the relationship between your admin, I mean, it really has a big impact on your school culture and on your school's success. I mean, we have ways to plug in that, Ashley said it earlier, that other people don't. We're very connected in our buildings, or have the potential to be very connected and influence, make a big difference. We have a place to make a big difference, a platform and a space to do so.
You know, I do a lot of graphics and stuff for GLMA and my library and my school. And it's like,
graphics are my favorite.
And so I was working on something the other day, and it just came across me. I want to do something along the lines of got milk, but got a library media specialist. Because I really don't think people stop and think what they're missing out on if they don't, or if they're considering not having one. So, you know what I mean? Milk goes with a lot of things, right?
This is my second son. He just came by to wish my first son a happy birthday. Here's my third son.
How am I the third? You're the youngest, so.
Spencer's been talking to him out in the garage since I walked away. A few minutes. Really? I mean, in the yard since I walked away. They came to bring him his birthday present, so.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you for him. He's 18. All right, interrupted conversation. They kind of walked in.
Let me go back to full screen.
All right, ladies, we're clocking in at like 10 after 4, so I feel like we might need to wrap this up, as much as I enjoy just sitting and chatting with you all. So any last thoughts, I guess?
Well, I just wanted to say congratulations to both of you. I am super excited for you guys. You know, this is like the first year. I've been a GLMA member for, you know, since I started as a library media para 5 years ago. But this past year has been the first year where I've really been an active member and been more closely involved in a lot of things. And so I've learned how important the advocacy piece is in highlighting school library media specialists in Georgia. And so I'm very excited for you guys. I'm so happy that you joined us today, and a big congratulations to both of you. And anytime you want to reach out to do any kind of advocacy or leadership message or anything like that, please contact us, and we would love you back on Overdue to use us as a platform for that. And I'm very excited about our professional organization growing and having y'all at the, you know, as our, I don't know, spokespeople, our region
leaders.
Leaders.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so I just hope you take that and, you know, make the most of it for you and for our professional organization, because it's very impactful.
Thank you.
Anything that you want to add? Anything at all?
I was just going to say thanks for having us on, and I will make a pledge to be more involved on a broader level, and I want to connect more with you ladies. I'll be emailing you after this.
That's awesome. Great.
Yes, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. You guys know I love y'all so much. And you have run many miles in my ear, so don't.
Hashtag super fan.
Well, congratulations to both of you guys. I just, all the programs that we've heard about in the last 2 days interviewing, all of you have just been so inspirational and so encouraging. And I can honestly say I've been able to walk away with something from everyone that has come on and spoken with us in the last 2 days. It's something that I want to implement in my space. So thank you for sharing with us and being willing to come in and share it with others. And again, congratulations. We're so lucky for you.
And congratulations.
Georgia is so lucky to have you.
Yes. Very proud.
Thank you for joining us, ladies.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Just a reminder that everything we say is our own opinions and not the opinions of our school or our district.